How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we're going to be talking about a lot of football stories. So I'll go ahead and start with the Ohio State-Michigan game. I think that's going to be a good game. Now, I do think that, like I said earlier on in the show sometime, I do think Ohio State's probably going to win. But I'm rooting for Michigan. Ohio State wins. Now, I don't know. See, I actually considered rooting for Ohio State this year because I was debating on whether or not they were the underdog, you see. But I figured it's just better to root against the home team because Ohio State's undefeated right now. So if Michigan hands them the first L, then I'll be jumping for joy. I don't really care who. I was rooting for the Rutgers. The Rutgers were holding out there for a minute until all of a sudden they got murdered. But anyways, the Ohio State-Michigan game is tomorrow. I do like I don't really know how to pronounce the first name. Coach Moore, the Michigan head coach. He's a good coach in my opinion. Beat Ohio State as an unranked coach. An unranked team. That's always a plus. And I think that getting the fifth win. Well, his second win, but the fifth loss for Ryan Day would just love that. But like I said, I do think Ohio State's going to win. I mean, they have Bo Jackson. I think Bo Jackson is a great running back. I mean, I do believe a true freshman. He's good. Really great. Probably the best running back in college football, in my opinion. I don't know for sure. I don't watch a lot of college football, but he's definitely up there. Also, Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith both are coming back from injury. Carnell Tate's not a guarantee, I guess, but I'm almost certain he's going to be back from the game. He might not be 100%, but Carnell Tate's Carnell Tate. By the way, Carnell Tate's projected to be a number one, not like the number, but a first round pick. And then speaking of first round picks, sorry, I don't know what that was about. Speaking of first round picks, OSU has three or four defensive players that are projected to go into the first round. The four being Caleb Downs and Averill Reese. Those are the big two that are projected to go in pretty much every mock draft in the first round. A lot of them have Sonny Styles going in the first round, and depending on which one you look at, has Davison Igbinosin. I think I pronounced that right. Also, you have Jeremiah Smith's going to be a first-round pick when he comes out. Carnell Tate's going to be a first-round pick. You have four potential first-round picks on defense. You have Julian Sayin, who is a Heisman candidate. I don't know that Michigan can really overcome that. I mean, you're going to have a hard time running on Ohio State because, I mean, Sonny Styles is a linebacker. Averill Reese, I do believe, is a linebacker. Caleb Downs is a strong safety, if I recall correctly. You're not going to be able to run up the middle. Your best bet's going to be run to the outside, and even then, Ohio State, I'm sure, has great DNs and D-tackles. They always have good DNs and D-tackles. I think Ohio State will probably have the Michigan game. I mean, like I said, they haven't lost a game yet. I'm not sure of all the scores, but I don't even think they've come close to losing a game yet. They blew out Texas. I mean, granted, Arch Manning didn't play all that well. Now, there have been conversations, by the way, whether or not Ryan Day will be fired should he lose this game against Michigan at the end of the season. I don't think that he will, personally. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people seem to think he will, but they signed that man to a 7-year extension. So he's on the team, at least contractually obligated to be on the team, through 2031. The deal he has makes him the second highest paid coach in college football with an annual compensation, so annual salary of $12.5 million, and that's not including performance bonuses. At least that's according to, I do not remember where I got that. I'll be honest. But, yeah. So, I mean, you don't extend somebody for 7 years and not plan on keeping them. Especially not make them the second highest paid coach in football. I just don't think that the Ohio State-Michigan game matters as much as people would like it to. Now, it's still the game in college football. It's the biggest game, I do believe, every year, besides the national championship. But I don't know that... Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate that he's lost four times. By the way, I do think it's interesting that the only time that Ryan Day's ever beat Michigan was his first year as head coach, meaning he had all of Urban Meyer's recruits. So none of the players, I do believe none of them at least. I mean, I don't know if they were recruited by Urban Meyer. But anyways, at least, you know, probably all of the starters, put it that way, most likely all of the starters were still Urban Meyer's players. And then when Ryan Day started getting his own players, you know, bringing in his own recruits, it started looking not so great, and he's lost four since. And I think last year was honestly a good chance to win. I mean, Ohio State didn't have, I mean, I don't know for certain, I guess I didn't watch as much college football last year, but Ohio State didn't have four first-round draft picks on defense and a Heisman quarterback, and then Carnell Tate, who's projected to go in the first round, Jeremiah Smith, who's one of the best, if not the best, receiver in college football. I just don't see how Michigan wins, I'll be honest with you. I think it's going to be good, but... I don't know. Like I said, I think Ohio State's going to win. So long as Ryan Day actually throws the ball. For some reason last year, in the year prior, he wanted to, like, prove a point, and like, he ran the ball because Michigan had a great run defense. That would have been last year, at least, I know for certain. And it didn't work out well for him. So I don't know. I mean, you have the best receiving core in college football, and you wanted to run the ball all game. Whatever, guy. No, I mean, they had, gosh, I have hiccups. They had Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, both of which, by the way, are doing fantastic in the NFL. Quinshon's actually doing great for the Browns. They've handed it off to that man at least a trillion times already. He got 173 carries on the year. He's definitely working. 25 handoffs against Miami. But I was at that game. They, you know, Miami's so bad that they made Cleveland look like a good team. That's funny, isn't it? I think they're going to fire Mike McDaniels. They might give him one more year, maybe. It wouldn't really surprise me, I guess, but I would just get a new coach. Mike McDaniels' play calling is kind of sketchy. I think that the Dolphins just have a lot of problems. But the GM got fired, so I'm interested to see how that works. Quinshon Judkins has 7 touchdowns already. So he's doing great. Travion is not doing as well as, Judkins, but, 118 for 558. And 5 touchdowns. So he's doing, not as well as Quinshon, but Travion's doing great. So, both Ohio State running backs that came out of the draft are good. Speaking of Bo Jackson as a running back, I have a lot of faith in him, too. I do believe he broke one of J.K. Dobbins' records. I had a lot of faith in J.K. Dobbins coming into the NFL, but he didn't end up panning out like I thought. I thought he was going to be better than Dak Prescott, than Ezekiel Elliott. Which he never really had the... Ezekiel Elliott's stats fell every year. But, you'll have that, I guess. But I just figured he was going to be, like, a more consistent Ezekiel Elliott. He just never ended up being that. Anyways, I think that Bo Jackson's great. More my style of running back. I think he's faster and shiftier. So that's a plus in my eyes. Also, big running backs are not my thing, but I'm not a coach, so it doesn't matter to Ohio State, I suppose. By the way, if you have anything to say about the game or anything else, feel free to call in here at 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. Yeah, I don't think Ryan Day's losing his job. Like I said, he's extended through 2031, so I don't see them getting rid of him. I mean, you'd have to pay him the fattest severance check you've ever seen. But yeah. So, there's that. Now we can go on to the NFL games. The Chiefs are probably not going to make it to the playoffs. They're 6-6 right now. They lost to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, which I was rooting for the Cowboys, so good to see that. So if the Chiefs don't win out, there's a fair chance they're not going to the playoffs, which had never been happier in my life. Patrick Mahomes has been playing well, though, in the last portion of the season. I mean, he's certainly tried to rally the team. But Rashi Rice has been out on injury. Well, he came back a couple weeks ago, but he was out for a good portion of the season. And I could be wrong, but I do think that... Oh, gosh, I can picture his face. They're running back. I can't think of his name for some reason. I do believe he's hurt. So, or on IR, I should say. Isaiah Pacheco. But yeah, so there's that. Also, speaking of the Browns, as we were with Quinshon Judkins, Myles Garrett, the Browns have one of the best defenses in the NFL, by the way. It's unfortunate they have no offense. They might have a run at the, I don't know that I'd say Super Bowl, but if they had a good offense, they'd have a run at the playoffs. And I do think that Shedeur Sanders has been doing considerably better than Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel didn't have any deep passes. I mean, it took him like 5 games to get like 2 20-plus yard passes. It took Shedeur like 3 quarters to get like 3 or something. So he's at least taking deep shots. But anyways, Myles Garrett is 6 sacks away. Or sorry, he has 6 games to get 5 sacks to break the single season sack record held by Michael Strahan. I think Myles Garrett will probably do it. I mean, the Browns, like I said, their defense is great, so, you know, there's that. But the Browns' schedule coming up is also, I think, works in their favor. I mean, they have the Titans, and they have the 49ers, and I think that they're going to get, I mean, he might get them in those 2 games. But, I mean, the Bears might be a little tougher, they did get a new offensive line, so I have faith in the Bears' offensive line. I was talking about that before the season started. The Bears are on top of the NFC North, by the way, so my prediction is still panned out. It is Bears season, like I said. The Bears are on top of the NFC North. I called it. For now, at least. I mean, the Packers are on their tail, and I hope it stays that way. I hope the Bears lose out. That'd be ideal. I hope all of the NFC North loses out, except the Packers. That would be truly ideal. Anyways, that's that was rambling. But I do think that, that Myles Garrett's going to win the single-season sack record, which is, you know, good for Myles Garrett, good for the Browns, really. I mean, the Browns don't have much going for them at this point. I think they have 3 wins, and, yeah. So that's always good. I will be at the 49ers-Browns game, too, and I have a pretty good track record at Browns games. I've gone to 3 Browns games, well, 2 this year, but I've been to 3 Browns games, and the Browns won all 3 of the games I've gone to. So, I think the Browns, I got money on the Browns against the 49ers. I'd put money on that game. Speaking of the Packers, by the way, the Packers beat the Lions, putting the Packers at 8-3-1, and I do believe as currently they are tied for the, well, let's see, because they might not be tied anymore. The Bears played today. The Bears did win, so the Bears are still on top of the NFC North, 9-3. But the Packers are right on their tail at 8-3-1. So we need them to lose some games. But either way, yeah, the Packers beat the Lions, they're 8-3-1 now. I'm not big into the sports betting. I'm old fashioned. I just One of my friends bet me $5 that the Lions would lose to the Packers. Sorry, that the Lions would beat the Packers, and I told him that basically he was dumb, and I took the bet. And it sounds like I'm up $5. Easy five, too. It's Toyota-thon. You see, that's where he messed up at. And that's actually, funnily enough, actually a story, now that I mention it. So Jordan Love, for those of you who do not know, the Packers quarterback, he's a member of the Toyota team or whatever they call it. Just basically he's sponsored by Toyota. And he's the Toyota-thon quarterback because I don't have the stats written down. I probably should have got the stats. But his stats during Toyota-thon are significantly better than Jordan Love's stats out of Toyota-thon. Yeah, here we go. So, sorry, I wanted to make sure I was reading it in the correct order. So, in his Toyota-thon games, he is 11-5 with a 68% completion rating, 3,719 yards, 28 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. So, good numbers. His stats outside of Toyota-thon, he's 7-9 with a 59% completion rating, 29 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions. So, hence the Toyota-thon quarterback. Significantly better in Toyota-thon, which happens to be the later half of the season. And the Packers, in the later half of the season, do tend to play better because it's cold weather and it's cold in Green Bay. So it just bodes well for them. Also, funnily enough, my sister finally responded from the first hour. But she said, by the way, no, her friends ended up not coming back for the game. So there is no party. Anyways, Jordan Love, Toyota-thon quarterback. And because of the Toyota-thon quarterback thing, the internet ran with it, obviously, as they do. And Toyota and a company named Panini, I guess, a trading card company, made 250 trading cards with a piece of Jordan Love's worn Christmas sweater, and it's like on the inside of the card. It's like a collector thing, obviously. It's got his stats from Toyota-thon. So I think that's funny. They're probably absurdly expensive, as there's only 250 of them, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. Like I said, I'd take a Jordan Love Toyota-thon trading card. It'd be a nice collectible. How about I'm sure I've mentioned it, but I actually own a piece of the Packers, so that's pretty cool also. I like that the Packers are the only publicly owned NFL team. Big fan of that. But that's neither here nor there, I guess. Just an anecdote. Joe Burrow has returned from his injury. He did very well. Well, I won't say very well. He played rather well, I guess, but ran off to a slow start. I mean, he had a 50% completion rating, which isn't fantastic, as you might suspect. But they did end up beating the Ravens by a good portion. They beat the Ravens 32-14, which is rather good. Like I said before, I think I've said it at least, the Ravens have one of the highest paid defenses in the NFL, and they're fraudulent, to say the least. They're not great. Same thing with the Steelers. The Steelers, I do believe, have the highest paid defense in the NFL, and the Steelers' defense is absolutely not doing well this year. But you'll have that, I guess. A lot of the players get old, I suppose, is my guess. I don't exactly know who all the power players are, but I know T.J. Watt's getting up in age as far as the Steelers go. I think the Steelers just made a trade for Minka, which isn't terrible, if I recall correctly, because he's not too young, but he's not old. He's, I think, 27, 28. So, anyways, I mean, they're... the power players on the teams are rough. I mean, I don't know who's all on. The Seahawks. The Commanders have Bobby Wagner. So I mean, players just kind of fade. But Joe Burrow and the Bengals win a game. And, you know, honestly, I don't know that it's good for the Bengals. I mean, you can't, it's not allowed to throw games in the NFL, as you might suspect. But I think the Bengals would have just been better off to keep Joe Burrow out, leave Joe Flacco in, and, well, tank. Now, you can't intentionally lose games, like I said, but, I mean, obviously Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I would take Joe Flacco, and I would just let it ride. And hopefully I'd lose every game for the rest of the season. And then bada bing, bada boom, I get the first draft pick, and the best draft pick in the draft. And, you know, you get the first and the second round, and the first and the third, so on and so forth. So you get the best draft picks, first come, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, you got to be the worst team in the NFL. And I don't think the Bengals are going to be there. I think the Bengals are going to fight, and I think the Bengals are... I think, unfortunately, what's going to happen to the Bengals are the Bengals are going to not... They might not win out, but I think the Bengals are probably going to win at least a few more games than end up with a mediocre pick. Whereas they could have, like, the pick, like, 1-5. But, I mean, the Bengals season is looking rough. Well, I guess it's not looking too rough, I suppose. Their next game is rough, I should say. They play the Bills. I think they're going to lose that game. I will not lie to you. They'd have to... That'd be one heck of a game if they won. Yeah. The Ravens are up again after the Bills. I think that the Ravens could take that, possibly. But I do believe Lamar Jackson got hurt, so it depends on how long it takes for him to come back. And then the Dolphins. I think the Bengals can beat the Dolphins. Easy. I think the Bengals can beat the Browns. Pretty easy. And the Cardinals are going to be another tough game, I do believe. But I think the Bengals could beat the Cardinals. It wouldn't surprise me. So the Bengals could do well. And that's not good for the Bengals because they're not going to the playoffs. And they're going to get a relatively poor draft pick. But, you know, everybody likes to win, I guess. No, nobody wants to sit there and lose a whole season of football. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt, sometimes one quarterback might be a better quarterback than another, but the team gets a better, they feel better about playing for it. Like, you know, Joe Burrow, you know. I'm not saying they don't, you know, think the same of, you know, but I don't think they really think the same of Joe Flacco. But I think with Burrow, they also want to see him win the Super Bowl. And, oh, they're just winners. There's some people that just win.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, I mean, there's a fair chance that, I mean, they I mean, Joe Flacco, I think a lot of the people in the NFL do like Joe Flacco. I mean, he's been around for a long time. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I think people like Joe Flacco. I think that they would rather have Joe Burrow playing at quarterback. Because, I mean, Joe Flacco is old at this point.
Well, yeah. And Burrow, he'll put his body on the line. He ain't afraid to do that if he has to.
Yeah, but he should. He should be afraid to.
More than one he is, yeah, but...
I mean, like, you... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of when a quarterback scrambles up in the pocket. But there's no reason your quarterback should be taking unnecessary hits. Don't... Like, your quarterback... There's no fighting for yards. Take a slide. Save yourself.
Well, that's what I didn't like with Urban Meyer. You know, I like the way Ryan Day, you know, runs his offense. Urban Meyer, every quarterback was a running quarterback. And then you get, like, in that one year we won the national championship. Our quarterback gets hurt, and Cordell Stewart had to come in and play the last two or three games. And luckily, we had a quarterback that was up to it.
You know, Ryan Day's offense, or the Ryan Day's coaching is really interesting to me, actually, because Ohio State's offense is very high-powered. And Ohio State actually has the least amount of defensive snaps in the league because every time Ohio State plays, they let the clock tick so long because the defense gets to sit on the sideline. You burn clock. You give your offense time to breathe while the clock's ticking down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ohio State's defense has significantly, like, I don't remember the exact number, but I do believe it's over 100 less snaps than the offense, than the second offense.
Yeah, but they brought in that one assistant coach, I think, this year.
Oh, well.
One with a beard.
Matt Patricia was a great defensive coach in the NFL, so it doesn't surprise me that, I mean, he's literally running NFL schemes in college.
And I think he has a good way of getting people to play for him, too.
Oh, well, I'm certain he does. I mean, I think there's a reason that that Ohio State has has four potential draft picks coming in the first round.
But Ohio State really
on defense
don't
alone.
Have a great dominant back like Ezekiel Elliott or Archie Griffin or some of the others that they've had. They don't have that awesome back. But they got two or three good backs, you know?
Well, I mean, I think Bo Jackson is, I mean, I don't watch a lot of college football, but in my opinion, from what I've seen of Bo Jackson, he's the best running back in college football.
You think so? Well, he might be, but
I mean, I'm a big fan of Bo Jackson. I mean, he's fast, he's shifty, he can run people over if he needs to. He tries to avoid it, but that's what you want in a running back.
Yeah, that's what you want in a running back. And also know how to hit holes and how to read those holes. It don't matter how hard you hit sometimes if you run into somebody in the back. If you can't see, 5 yards down the field which way you're going to need to cut and find that hole.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, Bo Jackson is a true freshman. So he was playing in high school last year. So, I mean, Bo Jackson still has at least 2 more years to go before he's eligible for the draft.
Yeah, but you think he's going to stay at Ohio State all those years, I wonder?
Oh, I bet you he stays at Ohio State all 3 years, yeah. I don't see him leaving. I mean, he's the starting back. I wouldn't see that happening.
It just don't happen much anymore. Even in pro, they go to play, a couple, 3 years until they can make, free agent. But I think it's nice for some college players, like Joe Burrow was sitting there not getting a chance to play for Ohio State because I think Urban Meyer really felt he had a faster quarterback.
Well, I mean, that...
Another quarterback. But,
I mean, that was the problem.
Joe Burrow, that just always won. That's what he did. He just always won. Wasn't the best of everything. He gave it his heart and he got his guys to play.
Well, that's why before the transfer portal there was a bit of a problem because, I mean, you would have, I honestly don't know what the star ratings of all Ohio State's wide receiver are, but say Ohio State had, four or five-star, I don't know how many five-stars. So say they got, four four-stars. That's more realistic, I do believe.
Well, I think they had that last year, the year before.
So if they had four four-stars, and, you can only have, I guess you could run a five wide or something like that, but, more than likely, you're only going to get two wide receivers that really get play time and then a third that slots in every now and then. So, if you were a five-star receiver and you ended up going to Alabama back when they had Nick Saban, because, Nick Saban was putting people in the NFL left, right, and sideways. You could very well be one of the best wide receivers in the country sitting the bench at Alabama because there's just better wide receivers than you. And you just never get play time because you can't transfer. Transfer wasn't a thing back then.
Right. But nowadays, if you ain't getting the play time, other coaches can scout you. And, you get another chance on life instead of have to stay there in 4 years and hardly get to play.
Well, I don't know how I feel about the NIL deals either because, I'm not against college players being paid, I suppose, but now I guess it's working out, I suppose, because, teams that were irrelevant before all of a sudden have dumped, millions of dollars into their football programs recruiting, and then now all of a sudden they have good teams.
Well, you know what's going to end up.
I don't really think that you should be able to buy the best players.
More fraud. You know, you're going to be able to buy your players, and, you know, people's going to get a kickback of that money. So, you know. And, what's her, Mike DeWine. He's talking about sports betting.
Yeah, I actually have as a story to talk about.
Did you?
Yeah.
And he said he didn't think Ohio should have did that.
Yeah, he said he absolutely regrets it. And one second, I actually have not the full quote, but he said, look, we've always had gambling, we're always going to have gambling, but just the power of these companies in the deep pockets they have to advertise and do everything they can to get someone to place that bet is really different once you have the legalization of them.
Yeah, a lot of people get ruined on betting. Don't get off here and listen to what you got to say on that.
Alrighty, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.
But, you know, so that happened. Mike DeWine, you know, the sitting governor, he said that he absolutely regrets signing sports betting into law. And like I said, he said that, you know, we've always had gambling, we're always going to have gambling. But what I found interesting is that he said, I mean, they didn't quote it, but this is from the AP, by the way. His comments reflect a reckoning that's unfolding across sports and politics as sports betting becomes more ingrained across much of the United States. The wave of legalization in recent years unleashed a massive industry centered around betting, and more recently, a wave of investigations and arrests tied to allegations of rigged games. It's a dynamic that DeWine says he doesn't think lawmakers fully anticipated. Ohio shouldn't have done it, he said. Maybe I'm the one under the misinterpretation here, or maybe the confusion. I don't think misinterpretation is the right word, but maybe I'm the one that's confused here. Because I was under the impression that the whole reason sports betting wasn't legal is because there was the potential for fraud. And he's saying that he doesn't think that lawmakers fully anticipated that there would be a wave of investigations and arrests tied to rigged games. That was the whole point of not making sports betting legal, to my knowledge at least. I mean, it would ruin the integrity of the game. I mean, especially when you can bet on anything. I mean, I have another story here. Same story actually came from the same AP News story. But the MLB actually negotiated with sports betting partners to limit the amount of money you can bet per pitch to $200 and exclude them per parlay. Now, I assume it's talking about, like, ball or strike or, like, you know, like, something like that, whether or not you can, you can bet ball, you can bet strike, you can bet home run, things like that, bet per pitch. And that's $200, and you can't put them in parlays. And for those of you who are not good with the sports betting and, a parlay is just, like, multiple bets mixed into one. So, like, you could bet that, say, like, TJ Watt gets a sack. You could bet that, I don't know, Jair Alexander gets an interception and that Josh Jacobs gets a rushing touchdown. You can bet on those three things individually wrap them up into a parlay. So if all of those things happen, it's one bet now that pays you more out than the three bets separately would, because, you know, the odds are lower than, because you're betting on three things happening as opposed to one. So that's a parlay. It's just combined bets, basically. So you can't put you can't bet on pitches and put them in parlays. And the max bet you can do is $200, which I still think is crazy. Imagine betting $200 per pitch. You know how many pitches are in a game? I don't. I'll be 100 with you. But, I mean, 9 innings is a lot of pitches. I mean, you know, you pitch 3 times to each people. You get 9 innings, 3... a lot of pitches per game. The deal was announced earlier this month after... The deal was announced earlier this month, a day after Guardians pitchers Louis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase were indicted and accused of rigging pitches at the behest of gamblers. Both have pled not guilty. Now, I don't know whether or not they did that. I haven't looked into that at all. But it was just part of the story, and I thought that was interesting. Because, like, what did you think? Because, like, if you can just... It's not even like you're throwing whole games anymore. Like, if you can just like, oh, I'll just throw a ball here and win, like, $1,200, why would you, like, it's, it just puts temptation there that doesn't necessarily need to be there. So, personally, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of the sports bet, or betting in general. I mean, like, you can bet on anything now. I don't remember what it's called, but there's an app or a website, one of the two, maybe both, that you can get on, and you can bet on anything. They're community-based bets. I mean, you can bet on anything. Anything that you can make a bet out of. Will this happen? Will this not happen? I don't remember. There was a bet about Putin. I was trying to figure out what it was, but I don't remember. But yeah, anyways. So, I don't know what the presumption, or I don't know what the reasoning was as to why they banned sports betting, or why it was illegal. But I was always under the impression it was because it could ruin the integrity of a game. And, you know, sports are competitions, and, you know, cheating and things like that. But, you know, I guess I'm wrong. And DeWine says that, well, again, they didn't directly quote him. I think they summarized. But he said that DeWine doesn't think lawmakers fully anticipated the investigations and arrests due to rigging games. I mean, I expected that. I didn't think it was going to go as crazy as it did. I mean, the NBA recently had a couple of players. One second. Chauncey Billups. I'm trying to get the exact story. Chauncey Billups pleads not guilty in mafia-tied poker scheme. I was trying to figure out who the other player was, because I knew there was a coach and a player, but I can't find out who the player is. But Portland Trailblazers coach and Basketball Hall of Famer Chauncey Billups pled not guilty on Monday to charges he profited from rigged poker games involving several mafia figures and at least one other former NBA player. Yeah, so I don't really... I mean, I don't know, I guess, that this is... Yeah, I mean, Billups is arguably the most prominent name among more than 30 charged in last month's sprawling federal takedown of illegal gambling operation... Oh, don't know what that was. Month's sprawling federal takedown of... I'm just going to restart. Billups was arguably the most prominent name among more than 30 charged in the month's sprawling federal takedown of illegal gambling operations linked to professional sports. So, I mean, apparently, according to, you know, the FBI, I assume, is who did that, so according to, I'd assume the FBI again, I mean, mafia is probably the FBI, they were millions of dollars in rigging sports games with the mafia. I mean... You legalized betting. I didn't even know you could... I mean, I guess you legalized it, but it's still illegal to... Because if you rig a game, then it's not... You're not betting anymore, I guess. It's why you're not allowed to bet on, like, WWE. Because it's... Now, even though you don't know the outcome of it, it's rigged. So you can't do that, because then the... Because then the WWE could always just take against the odds, essentially. Profit. But yeah, I mean, that's why you have to have fair-based sports, which is why I'm not a big fan of a... By the way, if you've ever been to an Ohio State game and there's a penalty and the entire crowd boos, don't just listen to the crowd. Like, watch the penalty, and most of the time, the penalties are fully warranted. Like, I mean, this is a bit of a pet peeve of mine, I guess, so this is the only reason I'm bringing it up, because of the Ohio State-Michigan game tomorrow. I can guarantee you there's going to be a call against Ohio State in which everybody's like, oh, come on! But, like, you know, it's going to be a good call, and everybody's going to be mad because it was a good call, except it was against Ohio State. And nothing bothers me more than when I'm at an Ohio State game and the entire stadium boos the refs for making a good call. You can't boo a ref for making a good call and then get angry when he makes a bad call. And then get excited when he makes a good call against the other team. Go ahead.
Hey, man, not to change subject or anything, but I forgot to bring it up when you and Scott was on. You see where that guy dressed up as a Nazi and went in? He was 30-some years old, and he went into a college bar, and it was mainly the women that was getting mad at him and telling him to get out of that bar. He wasn't wanted there, and he hit one of them in the head with a pitcher, and she has some broken bones and black and blue, had to get 5 stitches, I think. And you ain't heard nothing about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, keep your ears open to that. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Oh, I think I found. Is it the UGA? Happened at UGA?
I don't know where it happened at, really.
Well, this is Fox 5 Atlanta. Nazi costumed man accused of assaulting UGA student in downtown Athens.
Yeah, you know. I don't just...
Yeah, I mean, this will be a video shows Morgan striking the student with an object while wearing an SS-style costume and with a swastika armband.
You know, and that's also, I was watching on YouTube today on three sites, and they was talking, you know, the one thing that is consistent with all dictators is
what's
how
that?
Many lives is lost under that dictator. You know, they don't talk, you know, dictators don't, you know, how many people did this guy save, you know, inventions and stuff like that. It's always lives lost under dictators because they all got to be an authoritarian society to survive.
Well, the only reason I am under the impression it's authoritarian at this point is because the Supreme Court has constantly failed to do their job. Congress has constantly failed to do their job. But it's more so the fact that Donald Trump has pardoned everybody that he is in association with.
You know, he's going to pardon that Maxwell girl before he gets out of there, don't you? You want to lay $100 on that?
No, I wouldn't bet on that. Honestly, I figured he was already going to do it. I mean, he said that he could do it
in a
press conference.
A Ritz Hotel, you know, as a prison. But you mark my words, he'll end up pardoning her before he leaves the office.
Well, I think that should that happen, he's going to be very I guess it doesn't matter. He can't get reelected, but I think he's going to be very unpopular.
Oh yeah. I think I would rather go down in history for some better things than what he's going to go down in history for.
You know,
he thinks he's Trump and the name means everything, but you're ruining your name.
Well,
everybody's going to know how much of a liar you was.
Now, not to hate on Trump, but. I don't think he had all that great a name before. I mean, people liked him, I guess, but, like, I mean, if you really, like, because, I mean, Donald Trump had Trump University. I mean, that was a scam. I mean, it was shut down because it was a scam.
Right.
I mean, he has promoted multiple crypto coins that ended up being scammed. I mean, he has a crypto coin, and Melania has a crypto coin.
And his kids have made billions or millions off of it.
So, I mean, he's just not a... I think Donald Trump is just a con man.
Yeah, that's... Exactly, yeah. He's a con man maybe more than a dictator. He's a con man wants to be a dictator is what it is. But, you know...
I want to know what Donald Trump has on these people. Because there's no way that if Donald Trump has nothing on these people, they would have... So you're telling me they're just completely bought in, like, drank the Kool-Aid, like, they believe everything this man says? There's no way.
Well, people's afraid of getting attacked by him and have him. They try to make it sound like the left wings are the ones that are causing the violence and the ruckroar, but it's not.
Did you see that Marjorie Taylor Greene said she's not running for another
term?
Yeah, she's
retiring because she's already had some death threats and stuff from MAGA.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you were elected by the MAGA base, and then you started going against Donald Trump, or at least perceived to be going against Donald Trump in Donald Trump's eyes, and then, you know, you, so, you know, it's, I don't know what you're going to do about that.
Yeah. And there's going to be more retiring away, you know, I hear, so, on the sites that I follow, because they're getting, a lot of them's getting tired of him. They don't agree with everything he says, but, you know, he has that. Well, they still think Trump could have been into killing Epstein. So can you blame these people for being worried?
Well, I think it's interesting. We'll see where it goes.
But I don't know. I'll just wait and see how it turns out. But she'll get pardoned. You wait and see.
All righty. Well, it was nice talking to you.
Okay. Later.
Later. Alrighty, with that being said, we're about a minute over now, so I appreciate everybody for listening. Listen all the time. You can listen 24 hours. We're on TuneIn. We're on WWGH1071.com. You can listen live at the bottom of that page. We're on YouTube. We're just about everywhere. You can listen, like I said, all the time. Stay warm. It's cold outside. And enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
With a little old driver so lively and